Well, I desire your prayers. Definitely feel like we need the Lord to help us. I've been having this thought kind of continually coming into my mind. I think that God has so much for us. I mean, I think about it like He has so much for us. That I wonder, when I think about it, in my mind, I perceive God has so much for us. But I have in my mind the I think we want it, what the Lord has. But in my mind, I got this vision of we're reaching for it, but we're not quite getting it. We're just short of it. We have this little dog at home, and he stays on a chain, a long chain. Well, one morning, he was out there just barking away, and I thought, "What's that dog barking at?" And I looked out, and he was barking at something on the ground, just grass out there. Look. Nothing on the ground there. And he was barking and barking and barking and just barking at it. Just barking. And there's nothing there. You know, if it was a cat or something, there was nothing there. And he's just barking and barking at the end of his chain, just barking. And I thought, what's that dog doing? I went out there and I seen where he had just dug, and just beyond his toenails was a little bone. A little scrap. And he couldn't. He wanted it. I mean, he really wanted it. His last resort was try to bark it to him. He was just barking at it. The last resort maybe was calling for me to come and do it. So I gave him the bone. He was contented, but it was just outside of his reach. I think the Lord has so much for us. But because of doubts, our doubts, our chains, that our fears. I mean, the Lord has something for every one of us. I think that I agree with what Brother Joseph said. I think the Lord is all satisfying. I think when we give ourselves totally to the Lord, that everything pales. I don't think anything comes up to the Lord. And I think we want it, but so many times of what He's got is just beyond the reach because we're chained to something. We're held back with the things of the care, the ropes, you may say, of the cares of this life. I mean, I find myself so many times wrestling with my intellect about something. My perceptions of the way things are. Well, I am a great guide, a book, but I also have this mind that wants to try to tell me that this is the way I need to do this. And I think that's such a lack of faith in the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God says specifically how to handle things that it seems too simple to work. I'm going to have to make it complicated before that can work. Because it's just too simple. If I just do that, all I need to do is, I mean, really, all I need to do is humble and surrender it to God and it'll work out. I mean, how much simpler can you be just to turn it over to the Lord? Just give it to Him, He'll work it out. But yet I find the Lord saying that to me, but in my mind, I'm going to have to do something here. Yeah. I think the Lord has so much for us that we just, that is never quite got to. It's just, Lord, I want it, but I just never come to it. My life never comes to it. And I'm around the lot. I think I can speak for every place that I'm at. I wonder sometimes if we just aren't quite getting all that the Lord wants us to have. So Lord, help us.
That's right.
But there is an order
of things. There is a way that the Lord has established for us to get that which is outside our bounds. You'll never get the prize that's out if the chain's hooked. There's going to have to be some chains that's broken. Our fears of stepping in to really believing in God's abilities. Letting my own go and stepping into what God can do and having faith in God to work will allow me to go on. I'd like to start with the scripture in Matthew 5. The title of this in my mind is one word. First. Which you did think about. First. That's the beginning of an order. All right? First. It almost has an inference to it that there must be something following. Not just the only, but the first means that the next in order would be second. Or another. There's an order of things that has to happen. And in the things of God, there's an order. There has to be a beginning, an order of things. So I want to think about this. Matthew 5 and 23. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. But first, I notice in the scriptures that there's a lot of people that didn't get it. I can't say they didn't want it. But something kept them from quite getting it. Jesus came and he says, teaches, and even his disciples seemed not to get it. There was a man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. Split the inheritance. I'm using my own words, but the Lord said, who made me a divider among you? Jesus didn't come for that. But what he did come for, he imparted. Because this is what he got to real quick with him. He didn't say, well, tell me your story. Tell me your side of it. We're going to talk. No, he's got right to it real quick and said to the man, beware of covetousness. Yeah. See, because the truth about it is that how are you going to deal with your brother with covetousness in your heart? Could you imagine being an arbiter between two brothers that's got covetousness in their heart? I dealt with a lot of people with carnality, and I come away from one meeting one time saying to a brother I said, whoa, it's hard to deal with carnality. It really is. There's no basis of anything. Everything goes. There's no basis. So Jesus got right to it real quick. Before you go talk to your brother, beware of covetousness. Beware of what you're chasing after. And Lord, help us. This scripture is so important to us. And if we're going to reach to God, if we're going to bring our gift to God, you know what I mean? I was here praying. I didn't know if the Lord was going to call on me or not. I mean, I didn't know. And I was saying, Lord, don't let the gift fail. Don't let the gift fail. If you got a gift, don't let the gift fail. If you want to use it, don't let the gift fail. So I'm going to bring my gift and give it to the Lord. Any ability or anything that he gives, I want to give it to the Lord. But you know what the scripture says? It's not going to work. If you're going to bring your gift, your offering, your heart to God, and you realize that there's something there, go fix it. Put aside that duty for the greater duty. Because you can't go to the second grade till you graduate the first grade. You can't go to the steps of God's order. He demands that the first thing we do in these kind of places is to go, and not that I've got a knot, but if I realize my brother's got a knot, I have to say that I know that I'm not going to be under bondage to the whims of evil people. So there could be odds but yet the responsibility is for me to do everything in my power. My desire, my heart is to be right before my brethren. If I have to say I'm sorry, let's worry, whatever it is, I go to the fullest to take care of that before I can give my gift to God. If I don't, see, I got this idea that we all want a vibrant live service, don't we? I mean, we want the songs to ring. We want to feel they get to heaven. We want the sister to be touched. We want our prayers to go through. We want God to work in our lives. He will. But we want to sometimes feel like that I want to reach and get it. Lord, I want it at service. You can't have it at service if you don't take care of it before service. The Lord says, get it right first. Do the first things first. The basis of what I come for was to give you the ability to have a right heart. To humble if you have to. A grace of God that works everywhere all the time to give us the ability to do what we need to do in the affairs of our life. If we cheat or lie or steal or have odds with one another, grudges or unforgiveness or bitterness, and we come to service and we reach, but we're like that dog. It's just out of the sight. The Lord will never let us get because we're chained to such a certain amount. But if we want it to be vibrant, we want to be alive. We want our witness to count. We want our prayers to hit heaven. You have to do the first things first. I don't know this crowd. I don't know what could be here. The Lord does. But you got to make it right. You may say they ain't worth making it right for. I'd say check your heart. Get your heart right. These things can eat you away. So the Lord's counsel was first. He was giving us the first order, church. You want to be alive, church? You want to have the Spirit of God reigning in there and let's being more than just a tinkling cymbal? You want the reality of it? Amen. Then do the first things first. Yes. You got something in your life? Take care of that. You got something that needs to ask the Lord forgiveness for? Take care of it. You got an ought with a person? See, all of our lives is a struggle with these things. I struggle with the same ideas. I struggle with the same things. People say something. What did they mean? Was that against me? The devil's working hard to get us all twisted up. He's working hard about all those kind of things. And there's all these kind of ideas. And there's the cares of life that just are bombarding us. We're in a very busy time. We're in a world of computer screens and flashing motions. I'm not a computer person, but I was on the computer a while the other night, and I told my wife after that, I said, this is my testimony, okay? Maybe not yours. But when I got off, I said, I can't sleep. It seemed like my mind was still running like that computer screen. I couldn't shut it off. It was like I was geared up for something like that. We live in a world that we're affected by the things that are around us. But he said, for us, that we going to bring God our gift. Everybody's got a gift. Your presence here tonight, in a sense, is a gift to God. You're giving God your time. You're giving him a gift, a most of time. You want it to be acceptable to God. That he would be pleased that you would come and do that. So he tells us in how to make it right.
If you know your brother's got an odd against you, leave your gift and go to your brother. Now, I know from experience that these things aren't always pleasant to the flesh. Sometimes they're very difficult to the flesh to go and say, what can I do to make it better? How can we get right about this? What can we do? How can I do it? But the Lord's required it. And we'll never get the second until we get the first. Over in Matthew 6. Go back a little bit. 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, I like this little thought. It's really kind of a precious little thought. Adam Park referred to it. I think he referred to someone else saying it, but this was what he referred to. That it was like saying that added to seems to be saying that you're going to get these little benefits. I like that because we seek the kingdom of God. And we're granted for that these little benefits. We went to Olive Garden the other day and had a great lunch. And when we got through, they brought us these little mints. At the end of it, you get these little mints for getting it. Those were added to you. You got the little mints. You don't go buy little mints and get the whole meal. You seek the kingdom of God and you get the benefits of the things of this life. But you don't chase the things of this life and get the benefit of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the great kingdom of God. Get it right. Get it in your heart and he will add to you the little mints of life. You'll have clothing. You'll have the things that you need in life. But seek the greatness of his kingdom. Too often we seek the mints. We seek a little sweetness of that's going to taste good. We're going to seek something of the cares of life. We're going to seek money or fame. Or we're going to seek some prestige. Or we're going to seek some things. And we're going to take care of the natural life. But we never seek the kingdom. He said, First grade, start at the beginning. Seek ye first the kingdom, the great kingdom. It's before you. He's got gifts for men. He's got a gift for you. He's got a life for you. He's got answers for you. He's got a relationship of his own presence in your life. But seek the kingdom first. And all these things will be added as a benefit. But when we seek that, it's all we have. When we seek the things of the world, all we have is what we gain in the world. It doesn't work in reverse. If I can get enough of this world, I'll have the kingdom as a benefit. No, I won't have any of the kingdom as a benefit. You seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you can have it. You can have the great spread of his great table and all that it has in it. And for a benefit, a little side thing, you'll take care of your earthly needs in the process of it. Oh, I wonder how many things are just beyond our reach tonight. Perhaps you're here wondering what calling God has had for you, and maybe you've missed it for years, and maybe it's just been outside your reach, and the only thing that needs to be, the only thing that'll make you get it is to break the chain of doubt. God can take care of you. Amen.
God can work in your life and bless you. Maybe that step that I have to step out will break the chain. If I just step out beyond that. Maybe if I would quit chasing, trying to fulfill my own life. Maybe I could reach that. But at the same time, I'm struggling between getting God. I'm also trying to get a hold of the world like this and keep a hold, because I get in a comfortable place and this is where I ought to be. But as long as I hold here, I just can't reach it. Let go. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Listen, folks, this is the truth. It isn't about me. It isn't about a congregation. It isn't about a clique or a. It's about Christ. It's about being able to get to Christ and His kingdom and His things and His love and His mercies for you. And He wants us. I think many times the process that we have is too often we're still in ankle deep water. We've measured down. We've been in the flow. We got down to ankle deep, but listen. If the water gets swift and hard when it gets down to knee deep or thigh deep. Maybe I got down and I'm comfortable now with knee deep, but it gets thigh deep and the water's rushing. And a couple years ago, I was fishing early spring trout fishing, and the water was up and it was cold snow and the ice on the banks, and that's fun. And I was out there in the middle of the river and I got down and my old joints won't hardly bend, and you get them out in that water and those waders, and it's colder and they get stiffer. And just now that water caught me and it started taking me towards the deep water in that hole when I was trying to move my legs to keep from doing it. It was doing it a little bit. I was getting fearful of what was going to happen there in a little bit. The water was getting deep, and sometimes we're like that. The unknown is freezing. Well, thank the Lord I didn't go too far before I got some traction and got out of there. But I tell you, that's the way you think about it. There's waters to swim in. But you can drown in that water. In the other water, I get my feet on the ground. And I can still control things when my feet's on the ground. I can still take care of it. You know, if you're going to be able to swim, you won't swim. You got to get the waters deep enough to swim in. And the Lord's got things, I think, for us. I thank the Lord has blessings. I thank the Lord has salvation through our efforts in through His Spirit. I thank the Lord has healing through His minister, through His worker. I thank God has a way of touching the world through us if we let go. And let God be first in our lives. Be first. He gives us a great, wonderful world to enjoy. And I enjoy it. But you got to put Him first. Because He is first. Amen. Lord, help us. Over in Haggai, second verse of the first chapter, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much? And lo, it come the little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow on it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man into his own house. The idea has always been.
seek ye the kingdom of God. First, seek ye the kingdom of God. It didn't say they didn't bring in nothing. It said they brought in little. The whole idea of plenty was there. God was not going to withhold the blessings from them. But they didn't put him first. They put themselves first. We can't put ourselves first and expect to prosper. We got to put God first. Because he's all in all. He's everything. It's Jesus to us. It's the one that came to give us the grace. The one that came to save us. You know, I mentioned Sunday up in Webb City. But, you know, I like Christmas time. I kind of like Darlene. You know, I kind of like Christmas. It's a good time. We get to spend it with the family. We have a good time. I even like the lights, actually. I mean, I like the idea of Christmas. I've got to get into the theology of where it come from and all that stuff. It's a time that Paul said, in one place he said that some preach Christ but with contention or with not good will, and some preach him in pretense and some in truth, but Christ is preached. And I rejoice. Let Christ pervade the whole world. Let the idea of Christ go everywhere. I want him to go everywhere. I hope everybody hears it. Just, I'm about Jesus. But I'll tell you this. One day a year, don't cut it. Not in the Lord's mind, not in anybody's mind. One year, you can say, well, I'm going to have peace and goodwill, but one day, don't get it. That's not what it's about. That's a misidea. Because that ain't what he did. We don't just give, the idea of what we do for the Lord isn't superficial. The Pharisees thought that way. The Pharisees thought in the external idea of serving God, and he come by and said, no, it's not the external way. But go deal with your brother. Get your heart right about this. You want to do something for the Lord? We act like Christmas is for the Lord if you want to. I don't think it is. Doing something for the Lord means you get your heart right and you obey the word of the Lord. You obey the gospel. That's what it's really. You'll say, well, what's the season about? What's the season about? I know what the Lord's about. He's about saving our souls and making us right in our hearts. And keeping us right by his grace. That's what he's about. And in one time, in one moment, it's not about a moment or an act. It's about a way of life. It's about a change of heart. It's about a reality that takes place in our hearts. That's what it's about. If I want to do anything for the Lord, I'll do that. I'll give him my heart and I'll make him first. That's what I'll do. I'll make him first. I'll make him King of Kings in my heart. I'll make him Lord of my heart. And that's what gift we bring the Lord. Not on any particular day, but we bring it to him. The idea of that one day to do it is so foreign to the way the Lord wanted it. No wonder he didn't establish it in his word. Because it's foreign. It's not the way it should be. I told the story. There was a story of in World War II, I believe it was. The line was set. The Germans was on one side. And the Allies, I don't know if it was the British or Americans, on the other side. It was Christmas time. And so the battle wasn't raging. It was a kind of a lull in the battle. So they all of a sudden, one side heard Silent Night being sung. And the other side joins in, sings, and they get one gets a little white flag, and they come and they share some food with one another across the lines, and that's fine, but tomorrow I'll shoot you. I appreciate the idea that they would feel that way, but it isn't for one moment or one time. It's about a change of my heart that I can't shoot you no more. I can't have ill will to my brother anymore. I don't want to have it anymore. I got to get the first things first. I got to build God's kingdom first in my heart and life. I can't build my own way. I can't go after my own finance. I can't build my own empire. I can't do this. I got to build God first. Amen. That's what he wants of our lives. And it's just out of reach many times for us. We're so close sometimes, but we just can't quite break loose to get the fullness of it. And then when we do many times, the world starts pulling back on it. Pulling back.
I have the duties of life, and I got to be busy, and I got to do this, and all the strains and the stresses, and I get busy, and I don't pray, and I don't do what I need to do, and before long, something's happening.
And we get to a setting like this, and we say, we want the Lord to come down and be in our midst. Folks, it's more than that. He's willing to come if we leave our gift and we go take care of the issues and come back with God first in our lives. He'll be first. He said in this, I blew on it. I'm not going to let you destroy yourself like that without trying to stop you. Look, consider your ways. Consider, are you prospering in this way? And you say, no, I'm not. I don't have the peace that I should have. I don't have a joy in my heart that I should have. I don't have the power in my life I ought to have. Just be honest and say, no, I'm not. Lord, what's wrong? You're building your own house. Build mine. I'm blowing on it. I'm not going to let you get too far. Build mine first. And I'll bless your life. And you can have peace and satisfaction in your life. And you can have that assurance that no matter what happens, financial collapse, or North Korea launches a nuke, or whatever the world policies is, it's well with my soul. It's well in my soul. There's another scripture I want to look at. It's in 1 Kings. 17th chapter. You remember the story. He goes to the widow woman in the 10th verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. Yeah. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Well, that's not real hopeful, to be honest with you. But in her mind, it was reality. She faced the reality of it. This is what it totally looks like. If folks living for God, it don't have to be what it looks like. If it's one thing I've learned over the years, then it don't have to be what it looks like. Many times I've seen it, what it looked like, and it didn't end up what it looked like. I was convinced of what it looked like. I was convinced of what it could be. I was convinced of how it was going to end. But the Lord changed it all and made it different, totally different, and changed the whole circumstances of it. And it turned out totally different than the devil tried to say it was. But she looks at the reality of it and says, we're going to die. Kind of a hopeless situation there. Well, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. Now you know, to be honest with you, I can see a little fuss being put up right there at that. Human reasoning doesn't. That doesn't work. What? We have barely enough for the two of us, and when we do that, we're going to die. That doesn't make sense to try to feed three people on this. But that's the way we think. We need to let loose. Let God work. in the what God wants to work with. God. Do we believe that? God. He's got so much there waiting for us. Our arms are outstretched, but we're just limited with what our being able to get there. Lord, help us. Well, the woman, it says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Listen, bake me a cake first. If you'll give it first, you won't want. You won't want. It will never end. It will look low. It'll take faith. But you don't receive anything from God without faith. Do you realize that it might be right there, but without faith we can't receive it? You must believe. You must have faith. It doesn't look like it, or it wouldn't be faith. It doesn't always appear that way, but faith brings it to us. By faith we have these things in our lives. God wants to work with us. God wants to work with you. He's got a calling. He's got a blessing. He's got a reality for you. And it's just out your reach. If you've not got it, it's just outside your reach, and it's there. You got to take the first steps first. Put God first. Amen. Put God first. Over in Revelations, there was another scripture that came to my mind. The scripture said that before you go trying to take a mote out of your brother's eye, it said first. See, first. Before you do it. Before. I don't know at what point this comes to you do this, but I must say this. You've got to make sure the beam's out of your eye. Right? I mean, we got to get the first orders of this. We got to get the things in this. And if I begin to start having to worry and deal about others, I'm going to have to see clearly. Now, I know a lot of people like to overlook their own. I mean, it's common practice. It just is. It's just common practice to see the faults of others and want to straighten it out. Well, it has been all my life. I mean, all the time I've been around, I've seen that kind of thing. We're going to straighten this thing out. Well, there's places for those kind of things. In a spirit of love and enlightenment. But the first thing you need to do is get it clear in your own life. And then when you do, you'll have all the necessary equipment to take care of the other needs with. You'll have the proper amount of mercy and grace to be able to do it with. You'll have the proper spirit to be able to go and deal with the things that's out of order about things if it's your place to do it. You'll have the proper timing to do it with because you see clearly. It isn't time for me to do that. It's like me trying to pick a splinter out of your eye with my pocket knife. Well, as blind as I am, you're all a blur to me. I can't see. I can see to read with these, but you're all a blur out there. I can't see that. But you might get it out, but you cause so much damage doing it. I'll say this. We got to get it right from God's wanting to bless us. But he don't want a squabbling, feuding, fighting bunch of people. He wants us full of grace for one another and love for one another and tolerance and patience to endure their sins till they come to the fullness. Lord, help us. I wouldn't want the responsibility going around straightening everybody out. You don't want it either. You wouldn't want to follow me around. I'm going to tell you, I go all over the place. You won't follow me around making sure I'm doing right. Because you'll chase me all over the place. But it ain't your job. Lord, help us. Over in Revelations, the second chapter. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Wow. That was good. But the Lord said, nevertheless, you're in a danger. You're in a danger. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know that's possible tonight? It's possible to have been affected by the things around us to the point that we have, by the habiting of life that we followed. I did. Hey, I want to be honest with you. When I got saved, I got rid of all the clothes that I wasn't proper to wear. And all my wardrobe's good. All my wardrobe's I can wear. I'd have to go buy something else to do wrong with it. But it doesn't mean that I necessarily have to be right in my heart just because I got clothes that's right. Understand what I'm saying? I've habited myself into a certain way of life. I go to service every Sunday morning. And every Wednesday night I'm home. Unless severe situations of sickness or something happens. That's what we do. I like doing it. I'm glad I do it. But I also do it because that's what we do. And the Lord can say all those things. I'm glad that you took that on. Glad that you've done that. I'm glad you was patient. I'm glad you fought against the lies. And I'm glad you stood up for the truth. But you don't love me anymore. You don't love me anymore. You ever think about loving God? I like to think of it like this. How are you different tonight because you love the Lord than what you would be if you didn't? You'd have to answer and say, I love the Lord, so I don't, or I do. Or this is what it is. It can't be neutral. It isn't a neutral idea. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Not because he beats us over the head, because there's a love relationship. I love the Lord, and my devotions will cause me to obey him if I love him. So I obey the commands of the Lord. The Lord told me to love my neighbor as myself. I can tell you right now how it makes me different. Because if I didn't love the Lord, I wouldn't love my neighbor as myself. And I strive to love my neighbor as myself. That's how I'm different. The Bible tells us to love one another. The Bible, he teaches us that we should forgive. He said that if we don't forgive one another, he won't forgive us. You know, I can't afford that. So I got to be quick to forgive. Well, you say, well, I can sure get something over on Brother Marty because he'll just forgive. That's right. I'm going to tell you right now, that's right. Because he can't afford not to. He said to them, you've lost your first love. There was something that had happened that hadn't completed its turns yet. Because he said, you got time. You need to alter this because if you don't, I'm going to come and take the candlestick away. See, as long as you got a candlestick, you got the ability to light and burn. You got the ability to be what you should be. But when he removes the possibility of it, what are you going to do when you're deceived? What are you going to do when you go on and being religious thinking you got something you don't have? Can't afford to have that. So repent and do your first work. Tonight you will go nowhere unless you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You must love the Lord first. You must, what we do must be do it, but we must do it because we love God and the ways of God. See, loving God, how you put your finger on it. How tall was he? You love him for what he is. God is love. We should embrace that. That's what we should want in our own life. God is a God of mercy. We should long to have all the mercy that we can have. God is a long-suffering God. Lord, help me to be long-suffering. He was a gentle and compassionate Savior. Help me to be loving and compassionate. I love him means I love his character, and I will embrace it. I don't necessarily love your looks. I don't necessarily love the way you dress. I don't even necessarily like your personality and love it. That ain't loving it anyway. You know what love is? Love is valuing, appreciating, and lifting up for your worth. I love you means you're valuable to me. You're valuable to God. You're valuable to me. As a creation of God, you are worth Christ's Son dying on a cross. And I will look at you of all races, creeds, and all people. No matter what their sins are or where they're at, they are valuable and worth something in God. And they're worth something to me. Loving them is loving them for our appreciation and value of what they are. It isn't necessarily looking and having emotional feelings, because feelings will go up and down by all kinds of things. But love is valuing. We put great value. I have a great value for my wife. She's worth so much to me. My children are so valuable. You are so valuable to me. He said to these people, you've done a wonderful job of representing and doing what a Christian people ought to do. But in the process of the doing it, you lost the reason you was doing it. Folks, do you realize that we can go on and lose the reason why we do it? We should come to service because we love and appreciate the Lord and we want more of him. And every inch of it, every bit, every word, everything that I can get from the Lord is what I'm longing for and desiring. Give me more of that. It's why we do it. That's why we come. I like being with you because you're a little bit of it. And I'll take all that I can get. See, we should do what we do because we love doing it. Say, well, I have to pray. You have to pray? Well, yeah, if you want to take it that sense, you have to pray. But don't you get to? Don't you want to? I better read the Bible. I better read the Bible. Kind of got a duty. I better read it. Well, I think, Lewis, it's right there. The Word of God. The inspiration. The answers to our problems. How often do we say in the fight of right and wrong, what should I do? And then the Lord, the Word is there. I think of many times like the Philippians where he said that Jesus made himself of no reputation. But he took on himself a form of a servant. And it's saying, the Lord speaks, that's the answer. And he humbled himself. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? What mind, Lord? What mind? That he humbled himself and become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's my answer. That's my answer. Now I know the difference between what I should do in this battles that I'm in. How valuable, how much we should love the Word of God. It's more than our necessary food, the writer said. I embrace it. I want it. Don't, Lord, help us not to lose the reason that we do what we do. I started this off in my life because the Lord loved me enough to deal with me and save my soul. When I was so grateful that he did, that I told him, Lord, I will make a fool out of myself. I'll do whatever I have to do to serve you. And the Lord had to remind me of that a few times, but I kept that. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. If you want more of the Lord, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. If you want more of the Lord, do the first things first. Get it all right in the order, and the Lord will give us the benefits that go along with it. You pray for me.